quick then, we actually haven't got a quorum yet, but let's just take up then 3263. Does that sound good to you?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'll be very brief. Don't know if you want to hear from our testifiers, so I'll be brief in deference to them, and I'll invite them up.
They're going to get like a minute apiece, so they're going to learn how to really focus their comments.
Very quickly. So, Mr. Chair, the Homeless Youth Act was passed a number of years ago as recognition that we have many thousands, anywhere from 4,500 to 6,000 young people per night experiencing homelessness. They're a unique cohort of individuals who need to get those things they would otherwise get from their families, like, of course, you know, the basic needs of shelter and a place to sleep and health care and education and referral services, et cetera, as well as connection to loving and caring adults and, you know, meaning and purpose, et cetera, not getting those from their parents or their community, they would need to turn to the agencies that are represented here. And we've only managed to fund about $11 million per year, which is just a drop in the bucket relative to, there's about 13,000 young people who have this experience every year. This bill very quickly tightens up a little bit of the language around the criteria and how the grants would be dispersed. There's a pregnant and parenting homeless youth study to understand the prevalence of pregnancy and parenting among homeless youth, and it would also contain an appropriation that is substantially greater than what we have today on the desired path, ultimately, Mr. Chair, of fully funding the Homeless Youth Act. So with that, I will quickly turn to Jasmine Green, who's Senior Program Manager at Oasis for Youth.
And do you have three testifiers or two? Two would be nice if you could live with those. Is that right? Does somebody else come? So actually, they get 1 minute apiece. So
okay,
your timer's on, and just don't read your stuff. Just tell me a story about what it means to you, or something, in a minute. All right, unless you really want to read, but just frankly, telling us from you and just what you've been preparing, and so and for other testifiers as well. So go ahead. Welcome
Happy
to the
to.
Committee.
Thank you so much for your time today. Just wanted to share a little bit about my journey into this work. As a young person, I too experienced homelessness. I needed to utilize the various resources like drop-in centers, outreach workers, shelter system, all while maintaining my high school education and part-time job at the Mall of America. Not only did those agencies provide those basic needs and a place to go, but they also lifted me up when I was at my lowest. They gave me hope and a sense of safety. Just to speed things along here, I am now the senior program manager, and I support our Oasis's mobile outreach efforts. I assist with training and development, and the best part is I can continue to do the work with young people. I get to support young people, walk alongside them, and celebrate their big and small accomplishments. I believe that youth-serving agencies are really critical to young people's success. If it wasn't for those agencies, I would not be here today. And so thank you for your time.
That was really very good. Thank you. And it was very meaningful as well, just to point out that, you know, because we're just people here. We're glad to hear from you. So I think
you.
If you could step away and then somebody else can take your spot. So Senator Dibble, your next testifier.
Thank you. We have the Executive Director of the Bridge, Lisa Mears.
Welcome.
Thank you. I am the Executive Director of the Bridge for Youth in Minneapolis, and I just want to thank you for Chairman Abler and Senate committee members for allowing us to speak today. The Bridge for Youth was opened in 1970 as one of the first emergency shelters across the nation. We focus primarily on minor-aged youth, ages 10 to 17, but we also have two supportive housing programs, mental health supports, and a mobile youth outreach center. In August of 2020, amidst the throes of the pandemic, the Bridge opened Gloria's Place, which is the only emergency shelter in the state of Minnesota specific for youth ages 15 to 17 experiencing homelessness in their children. For these pregnant and parenting youth, 85% of them have witnessed or are victims of exploitation, domestic or relational violence, and their conception stories are often violent and traumatic. Without a safe and accepting home, it is about survival on the streets for them, and our goal in Glorious Place is to break the cycle of homelessness for two generations. Without us investing in youth experiencing homelessness fully, we will not disrupt nor will we end adult and family homelessness. I am here today on behalf of the Youth Service Network, our YSN, of organizations who provide services and safe shelter across Minnesota. We are asking you to support and fully fund the Homeless Youth Act and Prevalence Study for Pregnant and Parenting Youth. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And did you have another testimony?
Online, Mr. Chair, we have Oakley Lemke from 180.
Sorry, I wouldn't have had you leave. I thought there was somebody waiting to come down. So hello. Hello there. Welcome. Tell us your name and welcome to the committee and see how far a minute can go for you. Thanks.
My name is Oakley Lemke. Thanks for the opportunity to speak at this committee today. I'm honored to be here and to share my thoughts about the Homeless Youth Act. I grew up surrounded by a great deal of conflict and trauma. When I was 13 years old, I made some poor decisions and I got in trouble with law enforcement. And I even lived for several months in juvenile clinics. During this time, I was dealing with a great deal of depression, and at times I felt like I couldn't go on, and I was even suicidal. 2 years ago, I was placed at 180 in St. Cloud, and my life really began to change. I was shy and quiet at first, and I really didn't trust anyone, but gradually I realized that it was safe and secure. Staff at St. Cloud listened to me, and they accepted me just as I was. They didn't just teach me independent living skills, they actually showed me how to write my resume, how to apply for work, and how to transition from one job to another by giving notice and not just quitting on the spot. I learned these skills from the staff at St. Cloud and am now able to do this on my own. As I finished high school, I got a job at Burger King and worked part-time. The staff at St. Cloud encouraged me to think about college and even showed me how to apply for financial aid. One day, I received a letter in the mail, and when I opened it, I found out that I had actually been accepted into St. Cloud State. They sent me a poster that said, "I'm a Husky," which is their mascot. So without saying anything, I hung it on my door of my room in the shelter. Everyone was surprised and excited to see that I had been accepted into college. I was in disbelief at first. It's an amazing feeling to do things that you never thought you could do. Last August, I started college at St. Cloud State and got a job working at the bookstore on campus. I've also reconnected with my family, and this fall I will transfer to Brainerd CLC. My dream is to complete my training and become an EMT. It's really no surprise to me that LGBTQIA youth have a 120% chance high risk of becoming homeless. Many youth that I know have families that just can't accept the fact that their children are in the community. Many youth have been kicked out of their homes, or their families wouldn't accept them, and the kids were so miserable that they ran away. Obviously, the most important thing that homeless youth need is shelter, but just providing a roof and basic need isn't enough. I know from my experience that feeling truly safe, respected, and being in an environment where people are trustworthy and support you for who you are is truly life-changing. When I learned to accept myself for who I was, my depression and suicidal thoughts decreased significantly. I realized that I could decide for myself and become whatever I wanted. I could also begin to make my own dream come true. I encourage you to support the Homeless Youth Act so that other Minnesota youth like myself can have the opportunity to feel safe and secure, and have the opportunity to make their own dreams come true and figure out who they really are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I just gave you a bunch of extra time because I just was cool listening to you. Thank you. And there's an amendment, Senator Dibble, to your bill, the A1.
Yes.
We do have a quorum now, so we're truly in order.
Yes.
And maybe if Senator Fatte would move the A1, it just changes the date, right?
Correct.
Okay. Everybody understand the amendment? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. That's all done, and thank you. And just to, so the audience, the public knows, we lost an hour out of our committee time due to the session. Sometimes people just bag the whole thing, but I just think that was fair. So, Senator Wicklund.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say thank you for hearing the bill, and I just wanted to say I was glad to see Ms. Green testify about Oasis for Youth, and I've had the pleasure to watch that organization grow in Bloomington and see all of the work that they do in the community, and I really think that it's important that we continue to fund and see them have the great impact that they have in Bloomington and beyond. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And since you spoke up, you can move Senate File 3155. So, Senator Dibble,
so
welcome.
Moved.
to the committee again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So now we have Senate File 3155. I do have an A2 delete everything amendment, if I may.
Right, so why don't you describe the bill just briefly, then we'll talk about the amendment.
Sure. Very quickly, Mr. Chair, members, this is kind of a variation on a theme. There are, as I said earlier, thousands upon thousands of young people who are disconnected from their families of origin, many of whom are served by the agencies we just heard from. Many, however, find different kinds of situations that are good and positive, but less formal. They'll maybe, move down the block and move in with friends, or some other member of the extended family will take them in, or some other situation like that, and in non-exploitive ways. And that's a good thing, but oftentimes those settings and those folks who take in these young people need knowledge, advice, resources, need to be supported, and this is in recognition of just the reality of that. And there's research that shows that these can be very positive, very productive, where folks get both their basic needs and their non-basic needs met, form familial relationships or familial type relationships, and they get set on a good path, both in the today and in the future. And this would support those circumstances as well.
Well, thank you. Is Ms. White here to offer?
She's online. So Jacqueline White is here to testify.
Are you online? Okay. So, yeah, if you want to take a minute, Ms. White, that'd be great. Thank you. And we're just so compact, and I apologize. We thought we had a little more relaxing, but actually it's kind of a learning compacted thing. We're going to really, so welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Abler. And I wish I could be there in person. I'm actually fighting a cold, so I thought it'd be better for everyone if I didn't come. But I'm there in my heart. So this is a really exciting program, and it's based on a program at Hope for Youth in Anoka that was funded by philanthropic dollars, in which we worked to stabilize what we call these chosen family hosting arrangements by providing some financial support, by having some case management to connect the youth to needed resources, and to create an agreement about shared expectations so that everybody's on the same page. This has been very successful. It's low cost, it's cost effective, it keeps the youth in their community, it keeps them with the people who care about them. And the proposal is really to let's do this statewide, and let's also study it so that we have some real data about how this works. So that's our plan.
I appreciate it. Always good to name drop Hope for Youth. So so Senator Wicklund will move the A2, and this is meant to be a public process about this amendment. The amendment is pretty much, they said it was easier to delete all, but in here is last year we were in the budget discussions, there was a spreadsheet number with no language. And for some reason, MMB thought that really mattered. So like, okay. So it was $1 million a year for 5 years was the idea to do something to improve homeless shelters, capitally or otherwise. And so I've been talking with a lot of people, including Senator Dibble, and he suggested, so I thought we should do it something smaller that would be useful. And so we landed on homeless youth-related shelters, or youth-related ones, not just the big giant ones. And I believe the grants are up to 100,000. And so maybe if one of the staff who helped write this could just describe it, and then we'll, just tell us, just outline the basic sketch of, was it 100,000 and you can't get it 2 years in a row? What have I left off?
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Chair. The 100,000 would be the maximum that any organization could get over, and then they wouldn't be able to get the same thing the next year.
Yeah, so we're trying to spread it, switch out as far as we can. And so this is whatever, I'm open to ideas, and Senator Dibble, we can work on it, but I think we landed on something kind of cool, and it could be up to 100,000. You'd apply through DHS, and it's gonna be in the base. That's our plan. Senator Dibble, do you like that?
Mr. Chair, I love it a lot, and I've spoken with my good friends over here. They love it.
Yeah. And so any advice you want to offer the other body about what a great idea this is? We have to resolve this, otherwise the money is just going to rot there. So anyway, all in favor of the A2, say aye. Aye. Opposed? Who could be?
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble, take the, we're going to lay this over, is that right?
Right. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure that what you just described, though, is in the A2. Is there another amendment that?
Oh, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. So is there, what's the other amendment then? Isn't, weren't we going to amend that onto this bill? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we meant to do that. You know, even sometimes the most amazing shows sometimes have little glitches with the production crew. Anyway, so Senator Dibble, we're going to figure out what that is. We're going to bring this up and stick it on there. We intend to move it forward. So from what I said, that's
all right.
The legislative language is somewhat lacking, apparently, on that. So a little cross wires. Thanks, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll lay over
members, 3155. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Senator Sendrum, do you want to come up? And so you weren't here for the original thing, but we are just like so crushed for time here. So if you could like do a 30-second review of what it is and then let your testifiers carry the bulk of the work. We've had nice chats online with some of these folks. So let's move Senate File 3710, and one of these is going to go off to bonding, I think. I don't know which one. So Senator Sendrum, welcome to the committee.
Senator Abler, which one do you want first?
3710.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Sure. So thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Very quickly, you know, both of the bills I'm going to be presenting today is certainly about homelessness and dealing with it. The first one has to do with the Ramsey County Continuum of Care. It's basically $14.5 million for a couple of years, and it deals with supporting funding, et cetera, generally speaking, occupancy that already exists, as well as some programming related to assistance of individuals living in there. I'm just going to stop there, Mr. Chair,
perfect,
because I've got a couple of witnesses here, and I'd rather give them the time.
This would have been fun to have like 20 minutes, but just give us the highlights now, and at least you got a little exposure, and we'll keep working on it. So. Ms. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Thank you, Senator Abler. Commissioner Trista Mattis Castillo for Ramsey County Board Chair, as well as the co-chair of the Continuum of Care. For the interest of time, I'm going to turn it right over to Chief Inks from the Fire Department to share a story. Chief Inks.
Thank you. Chair Abler and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of Senate File 3710. I also want to thank our chief author, Senator Sendrum, for his support and dedication to this very important issue. My name is Butch Inks, and I'm the fire chief for the city of St. Paul. I'm here to share with you all how frontline public safety officials such as myself and my fellow firefighters and paramedics support and participate in this work. As you are well aware, the COVID-19 pandemic has had a profound impact on the fire service, and the women and men of the St. Paul Fire Department are quite frankly still reeling from the effects it has had on practically every facet of our operations. One of the most profound ways this has become evident was through the almost overnight prevalence of homeless encampments that started becoming apparent throughout our capital city seemingly overnight. Along with the rise in the visibility of these encampments also came the rise in calls for service to these locations as well. In 2021 alone, nearly 12% of our total run volume, which include EMS and fire, was directly tied to an unsheltered resident. Just to put that into context, the St. Paul Fire Department responds to nearly 58,000 calls annually for service to our community, which equates to about 7,000 fire and medical calls for service that were directly tied to our unhoused community members last year alone. Now, Ramsey County and the city of St.
Paul. You just have to wrap it.
It's okay, like, I'll go into my story.
You're actually about 2 minutes in of the 1 minute.
Just, okay.
It goes so fast.
Yeah, like, all right, I apologize, sir.
Oh, no, you're doing great.
So, Chair, I'd like just to share this quick story. One particular example that demonstrated these collective efforts. One night last winter, multiple calls were received about a possible encampment fire that was occurring at 35E and Mounds Boulevard, about 1 mile from this location. Our fire department responded to what ended up being a rather large encampment fire that was rapidly spreading to other occupied tents in the area. Our personnel arrived and extinguished the fire, and in the meantime, the deputy mayor of St. Paul, Jamie Tincher, happened to be driving by in the area as well and responded to the incident. The deputy mayor, along with our personnel, started surveying and engaging with some of the residents of this particular encampment. The individual whose tent and most of his belongings were just lost in the fire was medically evaluated and ultimately cleared by our personnel. But it was through this interaction that it was discovered that he was also a veteran of our nation's military service. I'm happy to report that after a few phone calls, this vet was connected with a safe place to stay indoors as well as to receive additional resources that he desperately needed, all of which were coordinated through the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Who wants to go next?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to share what this bill does. It does fund our shelter system that we have established that is working effectively. It's $14.5 million for the next 5 years. Ramsey County and St. Paul have gone upstream and pooled our money together to address the dire need for deeply affordable housing. And this truly is a bridge to keep people stabilized in the shelter system that we currently have and operated while we go upstream and provide for housing for those individuals. So we truly believe this is an opportunity for us to work ourselves out of a job and to make sure that homelessness is rare, brief, and non-reoccurring in Ramsey County. We are at a funding cliff. We have put in all of our resources. Those funds do run out in May. And so we are seeking this to move as quickly as possible and to have some assurance that we can keep the 500 plus people who are currently in our shelter system there while we go upstream and build them permanent solutions up the road.
Well, I appreciate your foresight. So, yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being so brief.
Yes, thank
and,
you.
And Ms. Roth, did you want to go a little bit and say, get in front of a microphone there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry. Thanks. We don't want to miss a word of your 1 minute.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Abler, Senator Senjum, committee members. Project Home is the largest shelter in Ramsey County for families with children experiencing homelessness. 54% of our guests are under the age of 13. Before COVID, we sheltered 40 beds on church basement floors on a rotating basis. During COVID, the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet invited us to move into their former convent, the Provincial House. This was kind of a miracle. We moved from 40 beds to 100 beds, and we moved from church basement floors to the families having a private room with a real bed so they can focus on success. Very quickly, how do we measure success? The average stay for a family in the Provincial House is 83 days. In those 83 days, we help the family find jobs or ladder up their jobs, find their permanent housing, childcare, transportation, everything they need to be a success. How else do we measure? Persistence. At 6 months, 91% of the families are still in the housing we help them find, and they're finding it's working. Our funding ends May 31st. This is an urgent request for the state to step in and support families' pathways to success.
Well, that's really interesting, and I just, and I wish we had more time, but I just, that very succinct little minute and a half you just did there.
Sorry, I went over a minute.
Oh, no, it was actually worth it. But what you said, I'm just actually helping people realize time, I think every program that we fund with a penny of state money should have the idea that you have about people moving through to be successful on the order of what this testimony has been here in this very hearing. So do you want the last word just to bring it home?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You want to head home. Sorry,
We want to make sure that we have homes for everyone. I think what's really important here too is though this is an ask for the Ramsey County Continuum of Care, that we represent more than 100 different individuals and partner agencies in this work. We fund it together. This is a collective ask. And more than 46% of the people we are currently serving actually don't call Ramsey County home. They're coming from outstate Minnesota. They're coming from other parts in the region. And so it's really important that though this is a Ramsey County ask, we are doing the service for the whole state. And we want to make sure that the success that we've demonstrated, people getting jobs, people being stabilized in a permanent housing can continue while we go upstream and create more houses. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the committee for your
time. Yeah, just to feed my little mind here. Ms. Roth, like you said, those goals you have, is that written down somewhere? If I were the king, and you will realize I'm not, I would like to say that everybody in Minnesota gets housing money from this niche would be working toward that. And maybe they all are, but maybe some aren't. So anyway, thank you.
I can assure you everyone in Ramsey County is working towards that goal.
No, but if you could write it down, that'd be, maybe put that in a little bill somewhere. Get even more effectiveness. Senator, so that for this bill, thanks, it's laid over. And
Mr. Chair?
Senator Murphy.
I know, I only have like 10 seconds, Mr. Chair.
You can have 12.
Thank you very much for that. I want to make sure everybody knows that Randy Roth is both a constituent in the district I represent and a force of nature. And I've had the good fortune of working with her in Ramsey County on this project, which is located also in the district I represent in McKinney. So I feel a lot of pride and hope about the work that they are doing, and I'm really glad to see this issue before the committee. Thank you.
That was 23 of the best seconds I've ever heard. Thanks.
And Chair Abler, it is written down, and I can send it to you.
Thank you very much. So you're all dismissed. Thank you. Thanks for being here. And then if you want to bring your next cadre down, Senator Senjum. And and again, this, I just, otherwise would have had to kick somebody off the list. I didn't really want to do that. So thanks for bearing with me. So Ms. Addison, Ree, Gutsky, and Ms. Conley, if you all want to come down and be prepared for, oh, you just have one person? Okay. Anyway, Senator Senjum, maybe a 20-second overview, and then we'll move into.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 3140, grants for emergency shelters. It's a statewide initiative involving certainly the, if you didn't know, obviously, the Department of Human Services would provide grants up to $10 million at 100% level. There are criteria within the bill that identify how HHS would Department of Human Services, rather, would make those decisions. It defines shelters, and it this, a city, a county, a tribal unit, or a nonprofit would be eligible to seek one of these grant applications. And I would just say that this homelessness thing, and you know, we see it all over the state, Rochester included. I tell you what, on a cold night in January, you see these people in their tents under the bridge, and you just know that there's certainly a moral dilemma here that we've got to face up to. And this is a scalable bill, obviously, but hopefully
sure.
We can do something.
Okay. And so are all the testifiers online except Ms. Addison? Are you there? So you just literally, I can only give you a minute. So just thanks for being here, and let's see what you can do with that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Abler. Rhonda Addison, Executive Director with the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless. I will keep it really brief. This bill, $100 million in shelter capital, will expand, preserve, and rehabilitate shelter beds in every single region of the state and create or preserve over 2,000 beds. We know that 80 of 87 counties lack enough shelter beds to meet the need. And so I'm going to just close it out there and allow the other testifiers to have more time to share their story. So thank you again for hearing this bill, important bill.
Well, thank you. And I wish I could hear more from you. Stacy, is it Rie? Welcome.
Yep, Stacy Ray.
Oh, hi, Stacy Ray. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Stacy Ray. I'm a fund development manager at Violence Intervention Project in Thief River Falls. We are the only emergency shelter that serves victims, survivors of domestic and sexual violence in our 5-county area in northwestern Minnesota, and we serve 2 tribal nations as well. Last year, we served over 600 individuals. We sheltered 23 families with 43 kids, and we also transitioned 23 homeless families into permanent housing. Victim survivors seeking safety often wait until the situation is life-threatening before they leave. So if shelter isn't available, they may even lose their lives. Last year, we had a client whose young son found her on the driveway with multiple stab wounds. She was murdered by her husband. So currently, we have 5 families living in our shelter, including 8 children. We even have a mother with a small child that is sleeping on a pullout couch, and so in our living room. So if we receive any more calls, we're gonna have to turn people away.
Yeah.
And we're working on an expansion project to increase our capacity. And if we were to receive funding tomorrow, we could break ground within several months. But without this funding, we won't be able to expand.
Okay, well, thank you. That's quite a challenge, and I appreciate that. I'm sure there's a lot of more power behind those words than we even heard. But thanks, Ms. Ray. Mr. Gutsky.
Hello, Chair Abler and members of the committee. My name is Erin Gutsky. I'm the executive director for Think So. And we work with a very specific population in Minnesota, those who are deaf. and hard of hearing, and one of the most underserved populations that exist in the country. Our team of advocates have experienced numerous roadblocks in securing stable, safe, and affordable housing for our participants who are currently unhoused and are experiencing violence in their lives. Even just a couple of weeks ago, one of our advocates experienced the ultimate rejection from a shelter simply because they were deaf. And they were told, no one here speaks sign language, so we'll have to decline. We routinely witness deaf people leaving shelters due to miscommunication, oppression, and isolation. This is why we would like to create a brand new model to serve deaf people in Minnesota. Without your support, a housing facility that focuses on the needs of unhoused, deaf, domestic violence survivors would not become a reality. Think South would like to purchase a four-unit complex that would provide separate living spaces and to provide at least 2 or 3 beds each. There's an urgent need to create accessible exit ramps for our community members who need safety and services that will allow them not only to have a warm place to sleep at night, but have access to opportunities to envision and create a future for themselves and their children. So I hope you'll join me in supporting the need for accessible resources towards ending homelessness for those who are deaf through Senate File 3140. Thank you for consideration.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate meeting you. Ms. Conley, do you have a few brief thoughts?
I have a few brief thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Angela Conley, Hennepin County Commissioner, and on the board, I chair the Health and Human Services Committee. I just am thankful for the opportunity to testify. Thankful to you, Senator Senjum, and I'll just touch on 2 important shelter capital projects. Hennepin County has a network of shelters that are in need of state investment, one of which is a project in my district. This is the development of a new Simpson shelter. The current facility is very old, and it's reached the end of its useful life. It's an old church that is quite literally falling apart. Hennepin County has already committed $3.5 million, and the city of Minneapolis is matching our award. And Simpson has raised an impressive sum from private funders, but a sizable funding gap for the new facility does still remain. The project is shovel ready. It only lacks the final piece of state funding. St. Stephen's is another example of a shelter facility in desperate need of improvement. St. Stephen's and House of Charity are operating out of a temporary facility and do need to develop a new site. They will face the same funding challenges as Simpson did, but given timelines, are less likely to benefit from ARP. They desperately need state capital support in the amount of $10 million. And these are just 2 examples. And the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless has already identified over $100 million in need across the state. So I just want to close by saying that now is certainly the time to make the investments in our shelter infrastructure to empower communities to find innovative, flexible solutions to address homelessness and prevent homelessness, future occurrences of homelessness. And we certainly want to challenge you to ensure that shelter and homeless response funding be committed to the highest priority projects as directed by local communities. And investing in shelters alongside investments in housing finance structures allows the state to ensure safety for people experiencing homelessness while also continuing with the ultimate goal of ending homelessness. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm just so sad we have to move so quickly through these. Every testifier has just been amazing. So we have to keep moving. We're not going to get to hear all the bills otherwise. So what I'm going to do is take the next 2 bills and put those at the end. So there's so many testifiers, we'll try to hear from them. So Hope for Youth is here. I'll move 2777. Is that going somewhere? Okay, they're all staying here. So are you here? Yeah, Lachelle, are you there?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
So if you could actually give us a 3-minute summary of what you're trying to do. I'm just glad you can be here at all today. And I know what city you're from, so you needn't mention Anoka. But anyway, so welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Chairman Abler and the members of the committee. We are honored to be here. And my name is Lachelle Williams. I'm Executive Director of Hope for Youth. I had some visuals. I am not bringing them up in the sake of time. But in a nutshell, we are a nonprofit. Our mission is to end youth homelessness and create pathways that are real and viable for our young people. We are the first and only drop-in center in the Anoka County area. And our vision is to always ensure that our youth feel safe, valued, and supported when they walk through our doors or work with our team. We're specifically talking about a drop-in center. We strive to create a welcoming and trusting environment. And last year, we saw that happen. The need, the reputation is out there. We saw a 45% increase with over 2,500 visits. So whether our young people are coming to us hungry, cold, or afraid, we're able to first meet their basic needs. And then we move it to casework, where once we've built that trust, we can support them with tools, resources, assets that help them to thrive. We work with our youth, meeting them where they are. So we engage harm reduction.
So what actually, what is it you're, just tell us what you're asking for. So you've almost burnt up your time. So just,
okay.
What are you trying to do? You have 45 seconds to tell us about the
I can
project.
Do it in 45 seconds or less.
Okay, thank you.
We are asking for $8 million to allow us to move to a larger space. Our current 6,000 square foot facility will just not allow us to expand and reach more youth, nor add the programs that the youth are saying they need. We're looking for a facility that's anywhere from 10 to up to 15,000 square feet, and hope that you would entertain that request. And we do have one of our youth to testify, Momo, if there is time.
Well, if they can say hello in a minute. I mean, they really have to stick it to a minute. So
yes.
Thanks. That'd
thank
be great.
You so much. I appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thanks so much, Lachelle.
Hi, my name is Momo Morris. I'm originally from Liberia, west coast of Africa. Why I brought me to Hope for You, I was homeless for the past 3 years. I didn't know Hope for You exists until my girlfriend introduced me to Hope for You. And actually, when I put my photo to Hope for You, they made sure that I was completely homeless. Hope for You have provided me an apartment. Hope for You have helped me with transportation and even helped me with food. And Hope for You, right now as we are speaking, Hope for You even helped me get back in school. Now my college is being paid for, so now I don't have to actually worry about anything. I'm stress-free. I'm just really thankful for you guys for giving us the opportunity to come back and get back on our feet. And y'all really give me hope, and I really appreciate for everything you guys have done for us. Thanks.
Well, thanks, sir. That was actually only 50 seconds. You did very well, and it was very good testimony. Thank you. And so, to Hope for Youth, wishing you well on your mission to get the money. That'll be laid over. So Senator Dreheim isn't here. He has a bill, 1468, that needs an amendment. So we're going to take that up. And there's a testifier, Ms. Fox. Maybe you can do that. And we'll actually, Senator Hoffman will move the Senate file 1468 and the A2 amendment. So do you want to do that, Ms. Fox? Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Senator Abler and members of the committee. I'm Danielle Fox. I'm the Adult Services Manager for Scott County Health and Human Services. This is Senate File 1468. We are looking to amend page 1, line 20. And the only change from this from last year is the addition of a definition of homelessness, which is intended to create less confusion and also be able to position counties to be able to serve homeless individuals that are maybe stuck in the system. So this bill with the Metro Demo Project is asking for an expansion of units from 226 units to 500. This is a pilot project from 1990 that has gone really well and worked with people that are vulnerable and experiencing homelessness, provide them the supportive services that they need so that they can ultimately live successfully. We talked to this committee last year and spoke about the data related to the consistency in housing. People are in these settings for over 6.5 years. They're able to demonstrate an increase in income. And so we're hopeful to expand this number of units and also be able to utilize this in Scott, Carver, and Washington counties.
Well, thank you. And so we heard this last year as well, which is why we're just doing it so quickly to update the language. Everybody understand the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Thank you very much. And again, this was a cool project. I wish we had a little more time. So Senator Uckey had to step away. So there's two bills left, and we wanted to hear from folks. Senator Hoffman, did you brief you, or can somebody explain these bills to me? Let's do Senate File 3143. Oh, okay. There you go. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Abler and members of the committee. My name is Zach Eichten. I'm the Director of Public Policy with the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless. Senate File 3143 is related to the Emergency Services Program, which is funding for shelters across the state. We have three testifiers that are all online that can speak to the bill. Senator Uckey and Senator Hoffman are the authors.
Okay, well, very nice. Yeah, so there's only three? Oh, that's even better. So do you want to just coordinate those, Mr.? Well, there were five. Yeah, I mean, I'm just...
Your ratings are going to go down. Do you realize that?
No, they're going to go up. From five to three. It's just amazing content today with each person we could have listened to for 10 minutes. So who do you want to go first, Mr. Eichten?
Let's see. I believe that Femi is online, and have Femi go first. Femi Ogun.
Okay, Benny.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Olufemi Ogun. I'm a program manager with Catholic Charity, St. Paul, and Minneapolis. I oversee the operations of Mary Free Opportunity Center. Our day center provides hot meals, showers, storage spaces, medical services, laundry, employment services, housing services, and more to thousands of men and women in our community each year. If you join me early in the morning, you will see people coming to us for basic services, each with their own unique stories. One person is coming in right after his night shift for a shower or a hot meal and a change of clothes from his locker before heading out for the day to find a place to rest. Another one is coming in for a hot meal and a meal before going to work. Our center allows people to come to one place for many things, avoiding transportations and lines, which take time and money. It gives people a warm place to stay during the cold winter days. People desperate for updates on their benefits or waiting to hear from family come to check their mail.
Mr. Ogun, you have to wrap it up pretty quick. You're a minute and a half into your minute. So, thanks.
You're
doing great.
Thank you for testifying.
No, you're doing, I'm so sorry, this is it. I mean, this is like.
Okay, anyway. I'll wrap up
Thank
very
you.
Quickly. It is a privilege to help over 300 individuals come through our door every day, but we must do better. Right now, my center is 93% funded by private dollars. Only 7% of my resources come from public funding. I hope that this bill will offer the resources and stability needed for Minnesota's shelter system and its workers to disrupt the trend of our homelessness crisis. I know myself and all of us could do better for the people we give help if given the chance. I hope you support this bill and help end homelessness in Minnesota.
Oh, that's perfect. And I hope you can come back and we can have more time to chat with you. So that was really very nice. So who's next, Mr. Eichten?
Mr. Chair, next on the agenda is Autumn Dilley with AICDC.
All right, and just to, you know, you don't have to read stuff. Just tell us your story, like what's on your mind about this bill. It's actually, I mean, Mr. Ogden was amazing, but go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Abler and committee members. My name is Autumn Dilley. I work for the American Indian Community Development Corporation. I've been an outreach worker on many different levels for the past 10 years. Currently, I oversee a robust outreach team of outreach workers that work with folks with substance use disorders and experiencing homelessness, primarily in the Native American population. Minnesota, as we know, is home to 11 tribes, and we serve over 31 specifically in AICDC. My family's from Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa in Belcourt, North Dakota, and as Indigenous people, we kind of center our way of life around our relations. So when we say our relatives, like you'll hear us say that a lot, we're talking about all beings. Outreach work and our way of life are very parallel to each other. Outreach work is sub-zero weather or 100 degrees on house front porch. Outreach work is going to this camp every single morning until you wake up and believe in yourself, because I believe in you.
All right.
So in a world of being told—
You just gotta wrap it up, so.
Yep, thank you. In a world of being told no, that door doesn't open, outreach work is I'll kick down every door until you have a dignified place to rest your head. So what I'm asking for, Chair and Committee, is that you fully fund emergency service programs and keep critical programs like outreach funded. Thank you.
Thanks.
Try to go as fast as I could.
I know you did good. I'd ask you if you had more time how the increase from last year went, because we had a pretty good increase then too. So maybe we'll talk about it, if it helped, you know, some other time. So Mr. Atkins, looks like you're here. So if you want to, just 30 seconds is all it really is. So sorry.
That's no problem. Thanks, Chair Abler and members of the committee. I'm Jason Atkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. We're strongly in support of 3143. Grateful to Senator Utke for bringing this forward. There are a lot of important ways and useful ways we can spend our state surplus, but we think that our most vulnerable and poorest members of our community have the first claim on that. We could be doing things like funding more workers for long-term care and persons with disabilities and our elderly, tax relief for families, but the scandal of persistent and ongoing homelessness is just that, a scandal. You know very well that there's a nexus between homelessness and things like substance abuse, mental illness, a lack of connection, chronic employment problems, et cetera, and this is why these emergency service grants are so important. We need to continue to bolster the way in which our state works with nonprofits like our Catholic Charities to help meet this need and serve our community's most vulnerable members. So thank you very much, and please support this appropriation.
Well, that's very well said, and you can stay there, I think, but it's just wish we had more time for a chat about this, and that hour thing, I'm just really begrudging that. So that's laid over. Mr. Eichten, maybe you can help us through
Mr. Chair.
2949.
I know we're running short on time, but we do have somebody with lived experience of homelessness that was hoping to testify online. Dwayne Parker, do we have a minute that we could speak?
Yeah, sure.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hello there.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dwayne Parker. First and foremost, it is imperative that I give all thanks, praise, glory, and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, I wouldn't be able to be here before you today. Shortly after giving my life to Christ, God spoke to me, and this is what he said. I'm going to place you in a homeless situation like these people that I love. It'll do two things. It'll humble you, and everybody around you will get set free. So on August 20th, 2017, is when my homeless journey began. Since that time, God has opened up doors of leadership for me. I'm one of the leaders of Street Voices of Change. I sit on the board of Heading Home Hennepin, and I'm a founder and leader of Envision Community. So even as I sit right here next to Molly, I'm at Freedom House where I can eat, take a shower, take a well-deserved nap, keep up with current events on TV. So what I was asking is that some of the money would be allocated to fund shelters day and night and other organizations to end homelessness throughout the metropolitan area. Thank you. God bless.
Well, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. So, Mr. Eichten, I just hate the time. Yeah, so so let's lay that over, and Mr. Eichten, are you conversant on 2949?
Yep. Okay. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. To Senate File 2949, this is a bill related to the Transitional Housing Program. This is supposed to be looking at how can we make this program better for the people that it's serving. So the way we're doing that is trying to increase the time limit that people can be in this from 24 to 36 months. What we heard from folks with lived experience and providers was that would be better timeline for a lot of our more complicated cases to be able to actually transition into permanent housing with this timeline. Additionally, there is some clarifying language on the policy side of things about possible extensions that was causing confusion among providers. And then there is a $9 million ongoing appropriation per biennium to cover the existing shortfall plus the extension language that we're looking to add.
Sure. And I don't want to deprive those other three folks at least getting to say hello. So do you know those people?
So first,
Ms. Jorgensen,
Are you? Is Jennifer,
first?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so welcome. And I just wish we had more time, but truly, if you can do it in a minute, I'll be grateful. But this has just been just a buffet of amazing, McDonald's quick food, but it's actually good food for once at McDonald's. Go ahead, Mrs. Jorgensen.
Thank you, Chairman Abler and committee members. I will try to be as quick as I can.
We have a minute, so you have that's as much.
All right, here we go. I am representing SEMCAC Community Action Agency in Steele County in response to one of my housing participants on Senate File 2949. Our program is more of a step into permanent housing than just a transitional housing program. But what happens when the complexity of their needs exceeds the two-year limit of the program, or the very limited dollars to put towards support don't meet their needs? Last August, I accepted a family member, a household of three, into our program with the idea they would need short-term assistance. But due to unforeseen tragic car accident, the wage earner was killed in a car accident, leaving a single mom and a small child who had immigrated here from Honduras, not knowing any of the situation. As she's muddling her way through immigration, trying to figure out new customs in a completely foreign land, we're finding that there's a lot of increased needs that she has.
You'll have to just make that your closing thought if you want to take a sentence.
That was an amazing story. There's a lot to it, but here we go. So with this situation in mind, I am asking for support on Senate File 2949 to extend the transitional housing program so that families can find support on a timeline that works. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate bearing with us. And Ms. Sanders, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Senator Abler. My name is Lucy Sanders. I am the executive director at Teresa Living Center, and we serve singles, individuals, and single parent families. And I am here to speak on behalf of extending the transitional housing program from 2 years to 3 years. What the extension will allow, it'll allow the families and individuals that we get exiting out of homeless to work on some crucial areas in their life, and 2 years is not enough. It'll allow them to look for a secure, safe environment, also to stabilize their life in terms of housing, look for employment, and to stabilize their mental health and chemical health. It allows them the chance to establish a more financial, stable lifestyle, as well as to correct any barriers that they have in their history prior to becoming homeless. So I am just here in support of extending the Bill 2949 from 2 years to three, as well as to provide the additional support services funds. Thank you.
Thanks, that's very well said, thank you. And Ms. France, are you there? You get to be the saving the best for last.
Yeah, you're keeping me on my toes here. I appreciate you, committee, and Chair Abler for having me today. It's a real honor. My name is Mary Franz. I'm a Hamilton Housing Case Manager in Lake and Cook County. And we use the Transitional Housing Program funds for two specific domestic violence units as well as scattered sites. I'll keep it short and quick. The Transitional Housing Program is vital for areas like Lake and Cook where resources are limited and program service providers are scarce and affordable housing is non-existent. So the transition from increased $9 million funding as well as the extension from 24 months to 36 months is crucial for areas like Lake and Cook as well as the state of Minnesota. Thank you for having me.
Well, that was really, thank you very much for the thoughts. Well, I've already apologized 9 times for the brevity. But so at least all these bills got a chance to be at least mentioned. And so as the process goes forward, at least we've heard about these various elements, a lot of overlap. Senator Murphy, I know you're dying to say something just because you know. All right. But I mean, it's on our minds. Some cities have much more concentrations than others. Anyway, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chair, I see, I just, because you're moving things so fast. My ADHD can't keep up with you. So I appreciate the fact that given today was a long floor session, you had these bills that were sitting here in this committee. A lot of people would have just pushed them aside. And I appreciate you went through these and you got them all. And we're laying these all over, correct?
Right.
So this is not the last time we're going to have a conversation on these, and given the fact. And most of these, Senator Abler, do you know, it looks like there's money coming out of housing on some of these. Is that still yet to be worked out, or where do you?
I'd say it's fair to say it's all worked out, so we got to wrap it. But so thank you, Senator Hoffman, for your kind words. And the people who testified, people still watching, and why would they not be watching? It's just been that amazing of a hearing. I hope you understand that, you know, we're all in this together. We want to help people have the best opportunities. And with that, we'll keep working. So see you Tuesday. We're adjourned.